That was a long prayer request, but it was a great one, wasn't it? I mean, that was just, yeah, it was fun. I like taking my time on the prayer requests. We don't always have that much time, but it's good to take the time because what are we going to do? Just rush home? It is. It really is. Yeah, exactly. And he cares. That's right. Now, he said, my house is to be called a house of prayer. So, you know, a lot of people put emphasis on worship or on the word. But, man, prayer's where it's at. Amen. That's it. All right. Are we ready to get in the word? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 6. We got about halfway through the chapter last week. And so we're going to pick up at verse 33, Luke 6:33. Tonight, as we continue our study of this glorious gospel, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. Your word is Jesus, and Jesus is the word. And so, Lord, open our hearts to receive what Jesus, what you have for us tonight as we read your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 6:33. This is kind of right in the middle of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And we pointed out last week that Luke's Beatitudes also include some woes in it that Matthew doesn't have. And we got into the heart of how we are to treat people last week, and that's kind of where we're at in verse 33. He said, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And really, just being nice to people that are nice to me, that doesn't make me a Christian. That doesn't make me look like a Christian. It's being nice to people that aren't nice to me. And, of course, that's the challenge. We talked about that at the end of last week, kissing frogs. Remember that? And if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. And if you can afford to loan it, you can afford to give it. And that's what Jesus said. Those are not my words. He said, don't expect it back. I think sometimes people that loan things and then expect it back, they're just setting themselves up for an offense, and we know that's the bait of Satan. If a book means more to you than a relationship, don't loan the thing. You know? I mean, seriously. Now, I'm not excusing people who are slothful and don't return things either. That's a whole different sermon. But I'm just talking about what Jesus is saying here. If you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Now, this will mess with some people's Christianity. You seldom hear this kind of stuff spoken about. There is so much emphasis on getting. There's so much emphasis on sowing to reap, you know, investing into the kingdom and all of this. You just don't hear people talk about this. But if you are truly to be a son of the Most High, then you are expected to give more than you get. And again, in the prosperity message, that may fly in the face. People say, oh no, you'll always get more back. Well, you might. But you see, where and when you get it is not always clearly defined. Jesus talked about laying up treasures in heaven. You may not get it down here. Some of these guys that preach prosperity make it sound like you're always going to get it here. But Jesus said, to hoping for nothing in return. I think that's really the crux of the prosperity, is that if I hope for nothing in return, I'm already rich then. I'm rich in faith. I have no expectations. I'm doing it out of joy. I'm giving out of joy. I'm not expecting anything in return. I'm a son of the Most High. That's what God does. And then Jesus sums this up with this great statement, for he, God, is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Wow. Think about that. Yeah. 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 That's right. If it wasn't for his mercy, being kind when I was a cantankerous person, including this afternoon, then, you know, but that's just like my Jesus, isn't it? Isn't that just like him? That is the nature of the Son of the living God. That is the nature of our heavenly, loving Heavenly Father. He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Now, I have to say, I've been a Christian since 1979. I've been in different denominations. I've pastored for a number of years. And I'm including myself in here. I've seen a whole lot of Christians that act like that verse is not in the Bible. And I'm just putting it out there. And yet, Jesus said, you're supposed to be like God, who is kind to the unthankful. Wow. Well, see if I ever give them something again. They didn't even thank me. You know, I mean, seriously, that's the mindset. I blessed that person, and they just took advantage of me. I won't do that again. Well, okay. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have boundaries. We should have boundaries. But the question is my attitude. Can I love that person still? See, boundaries sets boundaries and says, I'm not going to let them cross this, but I still am kind to them. See, the problem is when I get used by someone, then I don't want to be kind to him. He used me. He took advantage of me. But I set boundaries so he doesn't do that again. But God is still kind to them. And that's the challenge of looking like Jesus. Being kind to people that my flesh wants to hate. And my flesh wants to hate people sometimes. Wow. Therefore, so when you see therefore or wherefore, you ask what it's there for. My praise and worship leader has got that. She's heard that enough times. This is connecting the thought. Jesus has said all of this. He's finished with, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Since God is kind to the unthankful and the evil, therefore, you be merciful. Show mercy. Mercy is the unmerited, unwarranted favor of God. When God gives us mercy, we don't deserve it, we ought not to get it, but we get it. That's being merciful. Someone offends you, someone betrays your trust, someone lets you down, someone steals from you, someone breaks something of yours. Mercy. Show the mercy, right? Just as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. You know, I'm not sure how I want to say this. I think that the church as a whole is way too judgmental. And don't say amen until I get done. I might offend somebody. I know who I voted for, and I don't really like to speak politics. Well, I'll just say I didn't vote for the guy in office, okay? But I don't know that everybody else here voted that way. And when I bash the president, I may be offending someone in the church. I may offend them so much they may quit coming here. And how have I helped them? And so, do you understand what I'm saying? That we, as the body of believers, need to be very careful what we say. Because if I run someone off and they quit going to church because I spew out my self-righteous political opinion, and it may be right. Everything I say may be right. But what am I doing? I am judging that man. And Jesus said, do not judge. So when I do that, then I am risking offending someone when 1,000 years from now it doesn't matter. See, that's really the crux of it. Is this going to have any eternal merit on someone's soul? And I'm not throwing rocks because I've been guilty of doing the same thing. But I have learned that I need to be really careful with my tongue about spewing out judgmental statements, especially, you know, politics. You know, people say, don't talk about religion or politics. And the reason they say it is you're going to tick someone off. Now, you know, religion, we call it Christianity. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I'm going to stand by certain things. But that's Bible. That's not my words. That's his. So if someone gets offended at that, they're getting offended at what Jesus said. I'm just saying what he said. But some of these other things that you know, go viral on Facebook and all that, be careful. Because we are not called to judge. We're called to be a light and salt. Amen? So there's the end of the commercial. Hope I didn't offend anybody. Just think about it. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And, wow, don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that they would not believe on the only begotten Son of God. There's really only one condemnation, and that is the rejection of Jesus Christ, because that's the only way to go to heaven, right? Anything short of that, you're condemned to hell. And so the only true condemnation is rejecting Jesus Christ. I'm not condoning homosexual lifestyles, but I'm saying it's not for me to condemn it, because rejecting Jesus Christ is the only condemnation. This is the condemnation. That light came to the world, men love darkness rather than light. So, I don't condone a lifestyle, but I let God judge it. If someone personally asks me, I'll say, well, the Bible says this. But I'm not going to go out of my way to just bash people. Because I'm not to judge. I'm not to condemn. I'm to forgive and to be forgiven. And then he says, given it will be given. I like that part, don't you? Given it will be given, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, when I was a kid, my mom got a wooden fork and spoon from my Aunt Judy, who had been to Okinawa. My uncle was in the Air Force. And it hung on the wall. Most of you guys know what I'm talking about. They were about 3 or 4 feet long. Big wooden spoon, wooden fork, had all these little etchings on it, you know, hung on the wall of our dining room for years. That's a big spoon. Contrast that with, and I don't think they even make them anymore, but there was a time when you would go to McDonald's and get coffee, and if you put anything in it to stir it, they would give you this little white paddle. The paddle was, you know, about a millimeter or two wide and maybe 3 long. It was just a little flat paddle, and that was to stir their coffee with. Well, I always think of this verse, and I think of that big wooden spoon, and I think of that little paddle. Because a lot of people, they want God to bless them with the big wooden spoon, but they want to give to people with the little McDonald's paddle. And Jesus said that it's what you give with that it gets measured back to you. So if you want God to bless you with a little McDonald's paddle, then give with a little McDonald's paddle. If you want God to bless you with a big old giant spoon, give with a big old giant spoon. I mean, it's not really rocket science, but yet we forget. With what measure you measure, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall in the ditch? And of course, the answer to that is true. Many of the questions in the Bible are rhetorical. God knows the answer. He wants you to figure it out. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Now, this verse isn't in all the Gospels. The next couple ones are. Let me read on and then I'll explain. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye but not perceive the plank in your own eye? And that kind of goes with what we were talking about judging. It's like, can you believe he did that? And you got this big old giant board sticking out of your eye. And you know, what I've learned is people can see my faults a whole lot better than I can see my faults. And yet the same is true for you. And if we know that, then we should be real careful about seeing faults in others, because their fault may not be nearly as big as the fault that they see in you. And if we start throwing all those out there, we might be a little embarrassed, huh? And so, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and not perceive the plank in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck that's in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that's in your own eye? Hypocrites, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that's in your brother's eye. Now that statement almost was a parenthetical to the one I said earlier, where Jesus said in verse 40, the disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone is perfectly trained and will be like his teacher. So we come to verse 43, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from bramble bushes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So if a servant can never be greater than his master, and that the best he can be is equal to his master, then we need to really focus on Jesus, don't we? And as I focus on Jesus, then when I stay connected to him, then Jesus said, abide in me and you'll bear fruit. And then the fruit that will come will be the fruit of Jesus, not me. Because my fruit is pretty much worthless, right? So I've got to stay connected to Jesus. So if I want to be like my master, I got to be connected to my master. I got to abide with my master. I got to connect to my master. And then I will bear good fruit. And then if I don't, I'm not going to bear good fruit. Now the point is, you will know them by their fruit. Anybody can speak Christianese that's been around church for a while. Glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Good to see you, brother. Good to see you. We can say that stuff, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And beyond that, Galatians says, the attributes are love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control, out of which there is no law. But all of those are attributes of love. And it goes back to where we began and we ended last week about kissing frogs. The most important thing as a Christian is that I walk in love. And the only way I can exhibit love is to stay connected to Jesus, because that's the only way I can have that kind of love. Amen? And so I have to stay connected to him, and I have to be able to do that. And then he says in verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Whoever comes to me, now this is important, because I know that and years ago I've misquoted this, and I made a point not to do it, and a lot of people don't remember this. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, everybody say does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man who builds a house and digs down deep and lays the foundation on the rock. And when the floods arose and the stream vehemently beat against the house, could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. So a lot of people will tell you, I'll say, what about the man who built a house? Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. My house is built on the rock. And that's not what he said. He said, if you hear what I say and you do what I say, then your house is built on a rock. It's like a man whose house is built on a rock. And so, again, the best I can be is like Jesus. I have to stay connected to him. I have to abide in him so I can bear the fruit. And I have to read his word. How can you do what someone said if you don't know what they said, right? I have to be in his word. I have to read his word. I forget this stuff. It leaks out. And I have to read it constantly and stay in the word so that I can remember what he said. And that's the only hope I have for my house not falling. That's the only hope I have. But those who heard it and did nothing, didn't do what he said, did nothing, it's like a man who builds his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And our life is a house. And Jesus wants to be a part of it. Amen. And so he tells us to not play church, not just speak Christianese, but to read his word and endeavor by the grace of God to do it. Bear fruit. Be like Jesus. Be like the Master. And then when the storms of life come, and they will come, we will weather the storms and stand at the other side. And that's what we all want, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is the answer to every one of my problems. And so help me, Lord, to stay in your word. Help us, Lord, to listen, and help us to do what you called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.